morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for argument this morning is CBOE Exchange against the Securities and Exchange Commission. Mr. Dunbar.
May it please the court, Kelly Dunbar for CBOE Exchange. The SEC order should be vacated for two principal reasons. First, the SEC applied the wrong legal test in determining the scope of its statutory power under the Exchange Act. The statute and the SEC regulations tie exchange status to functionality, not corporate affiliation. And under a functional test, Silex, the software product at issue here, does not perform an exchange function. The SEC goes astray because it misreads the statute's group of persons clause, treating that as a proxy for corporate affiliation, when what the statute actually requires is that the group, together, operate a marketplace or a market facility, neither of which Silex does. Second, even under the SEC's affiliation test, Silex is not a facility. Fundamentally, Your Honors, this case is not about whether the SEC may regulate CBOE Exchange, which is a registered national securities exchange. The SEC can and does. Instead, this case is about whether the SEC can regulate a software tool as if it were part of an exchange, even though it does not perform any function of an exchange, simply because it's provided by an affiliate. Let me begin, with the court's permission, with the question of the legal test. I think it's fair to say that the briefs tee up two competing tests for determining exchange status, what we call a functional test and what I'd label as the SEC's affiliation test. Under a functional test, a product or service is part of a securities exchange.
Where does one get what you call a functional test out of the language of the statute?
Absolutely, Your Honor. We think the text of Section 3A1, which defines what it means to be an exchange, speaks in wholly functional terms. There are two.
But there's no doubt that CBOE operates exchanges.
Correct.
We're dealing here with whether the Silex package is a facility of an exchange.
And that facility question, Your Honor, is decided both under the text of the statute and under the SEC's regulations by a functional test as well. Otherwise,
if that's why I'm asking you, what language of the statute are you relying on for the proposition that this test is, well, let's just say functional rather than formal?
Absolutely, Your Honor. I think the language is in Section 3A1, and it's the reference to a market facility. The Section 3A1 counts as part of an exchange, not anything that fits within the admittedly broad.
I really would like you to discuss 3A2. The term facility when used with respect, et cetera.
Your Honor, our reading of Section 3A2 is that identifies what is a necessary condition to be considered a market facility under 3A1, but not a sufficient. So in other words,
you flogged the word necessary in your brief too, but I can't find that either in the statute. I'm trying to see how your argument jives with the actual language of the statute.
The absolutely, Your Honor.
Necessary isn't there.
Your Honor, for the sake of this discussion, I think we posit that the facility definition is exceptionally broad. It covers the waterfront. There are four clauses to the facility.
That's very common in securities law.
No, absolutely, Your Honor.
Definitions are broad. Yes.
So the question is not in isolation, is something a facility? The question is whether, under our reading of the statute, whether it's a market facility, which is why 3A1 and 3A2 need to be read together. And Judge Easterbrook, if I could just point you to the language of 3A1, it defines what it means to be a market facility in two ways. It says a market facility is, quote, something that brings together purchasers and sellers of securities, or second, for otherwise performing functions commonly performed by a stock exchange. It's those functionalities that the statute defines as a market facility.
You completely lose me. 3A1 does not define the word facility. It doesn't contain the word facility. That word first appears in 3A2. How does one say that there's some special definition of facility in 3A1, which defines exchange rather than facility?
Your Honor, respectfully, I'd push back a bit on the suggestion that 3A1 doesn't reference facility. It does. It references market facility. Our reading of the statute is that to be a market facility, to be regulated as if you are part of a securities exchange.
Where do I find the word facility in 3A1?
The last sentence says, the functions commonly performed by a stock exchange, as that term is generally understood, and includes the marketplace and the market facilities maintained by such exchange.
And then we turn to 3A2 to find out what the word facility means.
Correct, Your Honor. And our position is that market performs an important limiting function. The adjective market in 3A1 limits the types of facilities that count as if they are parts of exchanges. And if Your Honor is not persuaded that that's clear from the statute, I do think that is crystal clear from the SEC's own regulations, which we also discuss extensively in our brief. In 1998, nearly 30 years ago, the SEC defined what it means to be a system that brings together purchasers and sellers of securities, and it did so in decidedly functional terms, and it created specific exceptions for functions that count as exchange functions and activities that don't count as exchange functions, Your Honor. And respectfully, we think what the SEC was attempting to do in 1998 was bring coherence to admittedly broad and difficult to decipher statutory language in the Exchange Act. I do want to make this point, Your Honor, the SEC's interpretation, under which it's sufficient that an asset or service fits within the facility definition and is owned or operated by an affiliate of a registered exchange, would have astonishingly broad consequences that Congress simply couldn't have intended. And the reason that's so, Your Honor, Judge Easterbrook,
I always am very skeptical about couldn't have intended arguments. The Supreme Court has told us that we go by the language of the statute and not by imputing intent to the head of people who are all dead and can't tell us what they intended, and didn't present their intents to the president for signature. Anyway, we've got statutory text, and it seems to the Supreme Court, and therefore to me, that that's where we stop.
Your Honor, I appreciate the point about statutory interpretation, but the point is I don't think the SEC has ever actually understood that you could read the statutes to that breadth either.
The SEC has, for the last 50 years almost, been making arguments to the Supreme Court about statutory intent in the 33 Act and 34 Act and getting its hat handed to it.
I don't know the total scorecard of that, Honor, but I'll spot you that. I do want to just explain yes, Your Honor.
You simplify your exchange function test. I think it's page 42 of your brief. I'm going to paraphrase, but you suggest that if a product performs an exchange function, it should be regulated under the Exchange Act, and if it does not perform an exchange function, it shouldn't be regulated. Now, how do you square that with tickers that are on many websites, with the DC Circuit's decision in Intercontinental Exchange? How is your definition consistent with that, and what would be the principle that wouldn't all of a sudden be both under-inclusive and over-inclusive?
Your Honor, we believe that a functional test captures precisely what a reasonable approach to exchange regulation would be, which means if something provides an exchange function, regardless of who owns or operates it, it should be regulated as if it were part of an exchange, regardless of corporate lines.
So isn't that reading out A1?
No, Your Honor, we don't think so. We think the critical language in A1, and I appreciate to Judge Easterbrook's point, it's not easy to square A1 and A2, that the word market facility in A1 is performing a limiting function. It's not the case that everything that fits in the A2 definition and is owned by an affiliate of a registered exchange could be regulated as if it were part of an exchange. And the reason, Your Honor, that can't be right is because there are four prongs to the facility definition. One of the first prong is premises and property. The second prong is tangible or intangible property. The third prong is any right to use a particular service. Mm-hmm. If the SEC were right that it's sufficient to fall within the facility definition and be affiliated with a regulated exchange, That would mean essentially every business line of Cboe Global Markets parent company and every affiliated entity could also be regulated as a part of an exchange. And Congress can't have intended that result.
It's entirely possible, but Congress often legislates more broadly than it needs to or than people think so. I also don't understand this affiliated with business. What the statute says is any service for the purpose of effecting or reporting a transaction on the exchange maintained by or with the consent of the exchange. Doesn't talk about affiliated with the exchange, it talks about the consent of the exchange. Is there any doubt that Silex operates with the consent of the exchange?
Only in the nominal sense, Your Honor, that one needs to connect to the electronic trading engine, but Silex—
In other words, it needs the exchange's consent.
Yes, but Silex connects. But Your Honor, the point is that there are dozens and dozens of unaffiliated OEMS products in the market that connect on precisely the same terms that demand just the exact consent, same consent by the exchange. So if it were right that Silex is providing a market facility, then the SEC would be regulating all of those unaffiliated providers as well. But they've never taken that position, Your Honor.
Well,
and again, I suggest that—
You're just trying to interpret the statute. Maybe, given the language of the statute, the SEC's got more work to do and not less.
Well, Your Honor, respectfully, we'd suggest that the 1998 regulations, and I do want to save time for rebuttal, but if I could make this last point, the 1998 regulations, Your Honor, we'd urge the court to read the 1998 release. What the SEC said is an example of a system that's excluded under its definition. It cited the common message switch. This is at 63 Fed Reg 70853. The primary example of an excluded system the SEC identified was a system that, in the SEC's own words, was owned and operated by the New York Stock Exchange and the American Stock Exchange. So if the SEC's approach that they're defending in court here today were right, that you can impute the exchange activities of Cboe Exchange to an affiliated company, a software company, Cboe Silex, and regulate that all as if it were part of an exchange, that would make the 1998 regulations and the regulatory exemption that the SEC set forth incoherent. What we're ultimately suggesting, Your Honor, is that the SEC has regulations on the book for nearly three decades that have attempted to reconcile the admittedly difficult exchange and facility definitions, and it's done so through an exchange function test.
I just don't see how it's difficult. I certainly see how it's broad. It may well be overbroad, but I don't see the difficulty in A2.
The difficulty, Your Honor, is in understanding what a market facility means in A1. Respectfully, we don't think the statutory interpretation can start and stop.
It doesn't mean anything in A1. It's defined in A2.
Facility is defined in A2, Your Honor, not what it means to be a market facility. Our point is that reading the statute as a whole, as the Supreme Court's reminded the SEC it needs to do time and again, that reference to market facility has to do work, and SEC's regulations, we believe, make clear that what that work does is incorporate an exchange function test. And I've already eaten into my rebuttal time, but would respectfully request to reserve time for rebuttal.
Certainly, counsel. Mr. Hill.
Good morning, Your Honors. Ezekiel Hill on behalf of the Securities and Exchange Commission. I'd like to begin with the text of 3A1 and 3A2. And as this court's been discussing this morning, 3A2 and 3A1 work together. 3A2 provides the definition of facility. Cboe's argument seems to be that the commission is solely looking at corporate affiliation and concluding that Silex is a facility of the exchange. But that's simply incorrect. 3A2 is defining what facility is. Where the affiliation comes in is when we turn to 3A1. 3A1 defines an exchange in terms of an organization, association, or group of persons. And so the group of persons is an important limitation here on the definition of what is an exchange facility. That's one of the reasons why when an unaffiliated software, OEMS of this product, would not come within the definition of exchange facility if it is not offered by the group of persons. Here, because Silex and SIBO form a group of persons, Silex, a software, comes within the definition of a facility of SIBO. And the reasons that it is part of the group of persons, and this is consistent with the DC Circuit's reasoning in the Intercontinental case, is that first of all, they're corporate affiliates, they share a common corporate parent, making them part of a group of persons. But moreover, that would be sufficient, but in addition to that, they have a unity of interests and they act in a concerted fashion. And that's demonstrated by a few things, including the fact that as presently constituted, SIBO offers a waiver to users of Silex. So if you're going to use Silex to access SIBO's matching engine, you're provided with a waiver by SIBO. You won't need to pay the same costs that non-Silex users would need to pay. So that's the sort of concerted action that the DC Circuit saw created a group of persons among an exchange and its facilities. I'd also like to turn, if I could, to Rule 3B16. 3B16 defines certain functionality is not coming within the exchange definition. But it's important to look at not only what functionality it's looking at, but whose function it is. So 3B16 speaks in terms of functions by an organization, association, or group of persons. It's echoing the statutory language from 3A1. And so when you're looking at whether a particular activity is exempted from the exchange definition by 3B16, you look not to what a particular facility is doing, you look to the group of persons. So here, if you look to the group of persons, that includes not only Silex, but also SIBO. And clearly, it's undisputed, SIBO is providing exchange functionality more than simply order routing functionality. And so 3B16 does not provide an exception from the exchange definition. In addition, we heard a moment ago about release for Regulation ATS, which referenced certain order routing systems. And I'd urge the court to look at that regulation, at that release. The release is not, it's providing examples of order routing systems. It's not asserting that those order routing systems, when viewed as part of a group of persons, do not come within the definition of exchange. It's only providing examples of what an order routing system like Silex would be. And as the commission noted in its order under review here, where the commission's considered whether exchange-related order routing systems are exchange facilities, it's concluded that they are. And that's because of their functionality, which brings them within the facility definition, and also their affiliation with the exchange, which makes them a facility of that particular exchange. And SIBO, in its briefing today, doesn't identify a single instance in which the commission reviewed an exchange-affiliated order routing system and concluded that it was not an exchange facility. I'm happy then to turn to the provisions of the proposed rule, if the court has any questions about that, or if the court has questions about the statutory definitions. All right, well, and with no further questions, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. Mr. Dunbar, anything further? Not much to respond to.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I missed that.
Not much to respond to.
Well, Your Honor,
The time is your own.
I have the 2 minutes, so let me try and persuade the court on the statutory analysis this way. My friend on the other side began with the group of persons language in Section 3A1, and candidly, I think this is where the SEC has really taken a wrong turn in its interpretation of the statute. The reason is that we don't dispute for purposes of this argument that it's possible to view the SIBO parent corporation, SIBO exchange, and Silex as if they're part of a group. But the statute directs the inquiry to what the group does. The group must operate a marketplace or market facilities. And just pointing to the group of persons language doesn't answer the question of whether the group together, as the SEC puts it, actually operates a securities exchange. The bottom line is that Silex is a software company. It provides an off-the-shelf product that many other unaffiliated OEMS providers provide that are not regulated as a part of an exchange. It doesn't run a securities exchange. Neither does any SIBO group. To parallel an analogy we offer in our brief, if my brother runs a restaurant and I write code for an AI company, we're certainly part of a family. but no one would say that the family runs the restaurant or that the family writes AI code. Each of the individual constituent parts do. And the SEC's test, which at bottom, Your Honor, is that if something fits within the facility definition and it's provided by an affiliate of an exchange because it's part of a group, we'd submit misreads and reads out of the statute, reads in such an expansive way the statutory group of persons language. The bottom line, Your Honor, is that the best way to look at how the SEC has interpreted this statutory text is to look to the SEC's regulations. They exclude certain functions and activities that count as exchange functions. They include others that don't. And order routing, which is the central functionality that's provided by Silex, the software product at issue here, is expressly excluded from the definition of what counts. Mm-hmm. We'd ask the court to hold the commission to its own regulations and vacate the order. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dunbar. The case is taken under advisement.